The Sunday Business Show
with Gas Networks Ireland. Clean, reliable and always available 24 hours a day. More at gasnetworks.ie/gasforbusiness.
Today FM.
Yes, I do love that sound. That is the signature tune that tells you that you are listening to Ireland's favourite business programme, The Sunday Business Show. I am Conall O'Moran. In a minute, we're going to see, can we find out how much the big auction rooms like Sotheby's make? After that, we have Sinead Brady of Career to Love, who has Europe's first behaviour change technology, and she'll be telling us what it can do for your business. Then we have a social media app, Mingo Messaging, which can transfer money using any social app of your choosing. Ireland's Microsoft boss has been voted Ireland's Businesswoman of the Year, and she'll be telling us some of her success secrets. And it is the Sunday Business Show, after all, so we have a martial arts black belt with us to help shape up your sales team. Don't forget, for your famous shout-out, email live at todayfm.com, text 53102, or tweet at SBS todayfm using the hashtag TeamSBS. And we will start, as usual, with our business behind the brand. Auction house Christie's is getting ready to sell an extremely rare work by Leonardo da Vinci next month. The picture is expected to fetch over $100 million, which should guarantee Christie's a very handsome payday. Something that big is, of course, quite exceptional, but very welcome all the same. So, that said, us thinking about how much money these auction houses make and how to make it. Well-known auctioneer Sotheby's has been on the go since 1744. I don't know what their share price was back then, but in the last 5 years, Sotheby's share price has risen from $30 to $50, and that during the severest of recessions. We like knowing the inside track, and that's why we hire only the best of share sleuths. This morning, our man in a Macintosh is Aidan Donnelly of Davy. Good morning, Aidan.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
A man in a Macintosh.
A man in a Macintosh, yes.
I tell you, your pals are saying, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Lurking in the bushes.
Oh, now.
Sotheby's, they don't have the Da Vinci, but you were telling me just before we came on air, it is a duopoly. Themselves and Christie's slug it out worldwide.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing when you look at it globally. There are really only two big players on a global base, and there's lots of other smaller regional players, but when you look at the very big ones, it's just themselves and Christie's. And normally we think if there was only two guys in the thing, they'd come up with a nice little cozy arrangement, but actually it's extremely competitive.
That is against the law, you know.
I know, yeah, but like we all know that things, those types of things do happen, but it's extremely competitive. And the what you tend to find is that the market share ebbs and flows around the 50-50 split on a year-by-year basis. So Christie's might have a good year where they get some very, very big consignments to auction, and then Sotheby's will have it the following year. And as you said, Christie's is a private company. Sotheby's is the only one that is quoted. And I suppose there are many people that say there's actually no real need for them to be quoted at all. And you know, I think even the management would probably agree that's the case. But what you found is it's kind of a quirk of history. They've always been quoted, whereas Sotheby's have you know, certainly.
Well, when you say always, hardly back in 1744.
They've been the longest quoted
within living memory, is what you mean. And in your case, that means about 100 years.
Yeah, about at least that. So, but you mentioned about the tough times, but it's interesting because the global art market has seen an improvement over the last few years. We're starting to see much more consignments coming through, and also much better pricing coming through in terms of what's been achieved. But I think what most people think about the auction house, they just think about art, and they go, well, you know, the auction. The reality is there's actually 70 different categories that Sotheby's run auctions on, from jewellery, watches, wine, cars, you name it. But then they also have a few other consultation business, and they also have a financial services business.
And talk about the consultation one, because this is only I learnt over the weekend as well.
Yeah, well, what you've got to bear in mind with both these companies, and a lot of the auction houses in general, even the smaller ones, there's a huge amount of expertise about what they do, about the art and things like that. So what you tend to find is they will operate on a consultancy basis for, you know, be it large hotels, hotels or some of the marquee hotels that want to start filling their main public areas with art and things like that, and where they can get it and whatnot. So, you know, the old days, what really categorised Christie's and Sotheby's was that they had the Rolodex of where all the good art is, who owns it, and who might be interested in buying it. And to a large extent, that's what they sell themselves on. When you think about, if you had a rare piece of art that you wanted to sell, what you want to make sure is that when it comes down to the day, it is the right people that are in that auction house. What you tend to find is that the two leaders don't compete on price. The price is the price, and what they're trying to sell you is their expertise to get the right people in that auction room to maximise the price you will get on that day. So that's really where the scale comes for them. And you know, they run it out of about 80 locations in 40 different countries.
80,
yeah. You know, the main centres would be New York, London and Hong Kong, and they tend to be where they have the very, very big auctions. The other thing that's interesting about the financial side of the financials of the business is the fact that it's extremely seasonal. The second quarter calendar and the fourth quarter of the calendar are the ones that are really, really busy, and the first quarters for the Jan through to March and June through to September are actually really, really quiet.
People go on holidays.
Well, that's
they go
exactly
skiing
what it is.
In winter and obviously to Monte Carlo in summer.
Spoken like somebody who knows. Spoken yeah. like somebody
no,
who
read
knows.
It, unfortunately.
But the they have that that kind of seasonal aspect to it. But the other thing that's been the big development over the last few years, obviously we've seen the improvement in the art market, but the other thing is the proliferation of online sales, that more and more of their transactions are going online. And what they're finding is, like last year they sold $155 million worth of consignments purely online, and that accounted for about 19% of the lots that they sold in the whole year. But probably more interesting was the fact that 51% of their new customers, their new bidders, are all coming online. So and you know, going back to that idea of the Rolodex and having the Rolodex, anybody can go in and form an online account, and you just don't have the transparency until they start doing some very, very big transactions. And there have been big transactions. If you look in May, their two biggest transactions in May online, somebody paid $2.7 million for a Joan Mitchell painting online, you know, and then the other one, somebody paid $1.2 million for a Harry Winston diamond ring. Again, online, sight unseen, they knew what it was, and the bid for it online, and that was one.
I suppose when you say you're making big of this thing online, I mean, why would you not bid for, I presume that you take Sotheby's and or Christie's at their good name, so that if they say the provenance is this and
that's good. I suppose traditionally the auction houses were always the open outcry auction that everybody was there, and you know, if you didn't want to be seen there, you say either sent a representative or you were on a phone line. Mm-hmm. Now it's completely removed because somebody can just log on with their account and be able to live looking at streaming the auction live and be popping away. And then they also have a few auctions that are only online. So for some of the smaller stuff, they might only go online if they think that's the best way that they're going to maximise the price.
So as a business, I like the idea that it's a duopoly. That means that it's relatively stable.
Yeah, well, I think the stability of the business is more to do with, or the lack of stability is to do with the economy. So as the economy goes well, people have more money, they're more willing to spend on fine art and jewellery and things like that. And then obviously in the downturn, things get really, really difficult. And that's when, you know, you go through the cyclical bottom. So it is very much geared towards what's going on in the global economy. And the fact that we've seen an improvement in the last few years means that you are beginning to see that pick up. The other part of the business that they do is, we mentioned about the consulting, but they also have financial services. So they will actually lend you money against your art collection. And they have traditionally, because it's kind of secured lending, they have very, very low bad debts in that. They only give a kind of a 50% loan to value on them, but they can use their balance sheet basically to get a very good rate and then charge a premium on that. And as I said, they always know exactly what's the security behind it.
I'm hearing that you like this.
I do like it, and you know, we have the usual disclaimers that go to Aidan and www.davy.ie/ Fashe and Donnyport. As a business, I do like it. Now, it's had a good run over the last while, as you said. You will balk at the valuation.
Go on,
you know, look, it's always the same. It's trading on 25 times this year, 20 times
next year. It's not as mad
year.
As some of the stuff
no,
you bring
not.
In here.
No, it's not. And the earnings growth is very strong. It's mid-teens to high-teens earnings growth. They don't pay a dividend. Before you ask, they don't pay a dividend. They cancel the dividend.
So it's kind of a punt on the future of the world economy.
Yeah. It's a very, very good way of playing. If you probably buy it in the depths when everybody thinks the world is going to disappear, and then sell it when everybody is great. But how many stocks are like that? There's lots of them.
Lots of them. Aidan Donnelly of Davy, thank you as usual for that. And we will, of course, put all of this up onto our website. Oh, a quick message here. Good morning, Team SBS. We'd love a shout out regarding our podcast regarding Cloud KPI, about the joys and pain of being an international startup in San Francisco. SavvyWomenOnline.com. SavvyWomenOnline.com. We better take a quick ad break, after which we will be talking to another woman. Sinead Brady will be coming in to us. Let's take an ad break.
The Sunday Business Show with Gas Networks Ireland. Clean, reliable and always available 24 hours a day. More at gasnetworks.ie/gasforbusiness.
Today FM.